the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme.
Welcome to Dreams Not Memes podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of Dreams Not Memes. I'm here with my friend Anna, who is based in Russia, born and raised. And Anna is an English teacher, and we're going to talk to Anna about her journey. How's it going?
Yeah, hello. It's really nice to hear you. Yeah.
Thank you. So what's it like? What was it like growing up in Russia?
Well, it's totally challenging, I should say, because Russia is really a big country. And I was born in the south of Russia and spent 20 years living there. I went to school in a big city in the south of Russia. It is called Rostov-on-Don. Then I graduated from school and went to the university there, studying philology, foreign languages. And then I moved to Moscow in order to make my master degree in linguistics. And moving through entering another university is much more simple for me, in order to pursue the career, for instance, in Moscow or somewhere else. So that's challenging, but I think I really like Moscow. It's the city of big dreams, I should say.
So, being in Moscow, is that where you're currently based right now?
Yeah.
What's it like, working there day to day? Is it a very hustle bustle city, or do you feel very inspired?
Well, it can be both. So while you're living here, you totally can feel this hustle and bustle, and you're okay, I should hurry up. I should do everything really quickly. I should go to the university. I should use subway. I should, do everything on time. But I'm a very late person usually and totally a deadliner. But at the same time, you feel inspired because you're surrounded by really talented people. You're surrounded by people who, who are influencers, who obtained really good careers, and you're inspired by them. So you're okay, if he or she comes from a small city, somewhere in Russia, and then he or she moved to Moscow and still obtained this kind of career, why can't I do the same?
Between living in Moscow and being an English teacher, you mentioned that you studied linguistics. Why linguistics? What interested you in that?
That's a tricky question, just because, languages are the things that I really did well in languages while I was at high school, and I learned German, I learned English, and it was if languages is not that difficult for me, maybe I can continue studying them, maybe then teaching them. So it was just, I should say, a coincidence, because firstly, I was about to be a doctor, and to treat people, to heal people. But then I think I really love the idea of languages, because the more languages you speak, the more personalities you obtain. So that's fascinating.
No, I understand that. How many languages do you speak?
Okay, I speak, 5 languages. So I can't say that I really speak them well, as English or Russian, for instance. But I can speak German, Spanish, Chinese. So kind of.
No, that's really, really impressive. I mean, I won't lie. I only know English. I speak some Spanish. And whatever I pick up from subtitles from foreign films, but that doesn't really count at all. has that also allowed you opportunities beyond teaching to travel more?
Sure. I'm a big traveler, and every time I travel somewhere, I'm okay, maybe I should learn this language later. Mm-hmm. But mostly now I don't have enough time to do it because of work, studies, and everything. Like last time when I was in Turkey, I was like, okay, I should start studying Turkish just because it's interesting, yeah, and it's very difficult. But at the same time, I understand that I don't have like enough opportunities to continue my studies with other languages like Chinese. I stopped somewhere in the middle and I can't improve my skills just because I don't have enough time to focus on it. And I was like, okay, maybe I should stop thinking about learning some new languages and just focus on the ones that I can at least speak a bit right now. So sure. Yeah.
I definitely understand that. And like, what do you think is the hardest part about learning a language?
I think the hardest part is learning a language without knowing, without obtaining any knowledge about the culture of it, about the people of about the people who speak this language. So when you just start learning a new language, I think you should focus not only on learning, I don't know, alphabet, learning how to write, how, I don't know, to read, but at the same time, you should understand whether you like the culture or not, because there can be an issue like if you don't like the culture, if you don't understand the culture of a country, the language of which you want to speak, you may have some struggles with learning language, especially as for me, it works for Chinese language, because like I didn't really know a lot about Chinese culture. And it was like, okay, why do they have this hieroglyphic writing? And like, why do they have these different connotations, these different, I don't know, parts. So I don't have really any associations with the culture. And that is why it was a bit challenging for me. And then I went to China for studies, like for 4 months. It was my exchange semester abroad in a big city, which is Tianjin. But I don't think anyone knows this city just because like China has a lot of big cities with millions of people. So yeah, and only after that, I understood like how important it is for people to gain some knowledge about the culture and how it can lead to the development of your speaking skills, of your, I don't know, how it can enhance your interest of learning the language. So yeah.
No, I completely understand that a lot, you know, because like, speaking about Spanish, like I took 9 years of that, and I know a big thing that was really interested or keeping me engaged was my love for the food and my love for the culture, and having the hope that I would go to Spanish speaking countries and be able to like live in it and be in it. And from what I'm hearing is like, to know a language is to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I really like that you shared that. Let's take a quick break and learn a little bit more about like your experiences as an English teacher.
Quick message. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Dreams.Memes. Please make sure to follow Dreams.Memes podcast on your preferred streaming channel or on Instagram at Dreams.Memes podcast. To support Dreams.Memes podcast, feel free to contact me at adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for advertising or sponsorship opportunities. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, now we're back. So tell me about how did you become an English teacher?
Well, that's interesting because when you study philology in Russia, you don't really know what to do after studying philology or linguistics because studying text, studying different peculiarities of English or other languages in terms of phonetics, I don't know, lexicology and some other stuff. You don't really know what people should do with all this stuff if they don't want to become, I don't know, kind of academics, you just need to think of something else to do. And teaching, I think here, teaching is the best option, because I didn't really see myself as an interpreter or as a translator, just because I really love to read or to watch movies in English or in any other languages, like in with subtitles or without, but like with the original audio. But I didn't want to translate them because it's a really tough, and it's a really tough job that it is not that precious for many people. And I just want to feel, you know, the original sense, but at the same time, yeah. So, and as for intercultural communication, it is a bit challenging because I was studying in Rostov, and Rostov is not the biggest city in Russia, but it still has some problems with international companies, or I don't know, with international students. And that is why, like, I don't know, I focused on teaching just because I can teach kids and it's not that difficult, but I don't like teaching kids anymore just because it's difficult.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I focus on teaching new students, high schoolers, and just adults, yeah, who want to do the interview or to move abroad, or just he want to study English for fun. And yeah, and I think I did manage to do it some kind of well. Yeah, and then I moved to Moscow, and I wanted to focus on international communication as well. So yeah, I did my master degree with intercultural communication, totally, but still I continue teaching. And maybe, yeah, I want to focus both on intercultural communication. Yeah, just because, as I said before, about, you know, this dialogue of cultures, when you study one language, you totally need to understand the culture of the language you want to speak. So yeah, and here intercultural communication can help you like a lot.
True.
And yeah, teaching is really I should say complicated. It's a complicated process, but it is totally worth it, just because yeah, you're helping others to understand the language. You're helping others to, I don't know, to release their kind of thoughts and yeah, and communicate with other people, especially like English, international language, like the most popular language right now, not even right now, like for a very long period of time. So yeah.
What would you say are like some of the biggest challenges? Is it connecting your students to the cultures of people who speak English? Or is it just the fact that English is a hard language in general?
Okay, let me think. I don't know, like, can you repeat the second point?
Certainly, like, is the bigger challenge more in working with the students themselves, or is it connecting language to culture, or is it just the fact that English is just hard?
Okay, I won't say that English like is a very hard language to learn, just because, you know, I'm a Russian speaking person, so, and I always adore people who speak Russian because I don't understand how they do this. I think yeah, it can be both. So I don't think I need to explain a lot about the culture of English while teaching it. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, the culture of English speaking countries, it becomes some kind of universal, just because, like, movies, books, I don't know, celebrities and everything. So it's just about, I don't know, teaching about the explaining the different structure of language, yeah, the different units of language, because certain things there are some certain things that students cannot understand just because of they're trying to interpret it from their language. They're trying to see it differently, like again through the Russian or through another language they speak. So that can be challenging. So yeah.
No, I definitely hear that. I definitely hear that. And you know, when it comes to like your experiences around culture, whether it's, you know, learning Mandarin, embracing English or German, what was it like? One, did you ever have the experience of going to an English-speaking country or a German-speaking country, a Chinese-speaking country? Like, what was that like if you had that experience?
Yeah, I have never had an experience of going to English-speaking country, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
But I would like to, of course, because like English is my best language, best of foreign languages, and they teach this language and then teach somehow this culture. But I have never been anywhere where people really speak English, like a mother language. So yeah, but I do have like a lot of friends, acquaintances from English speaking countries. So yeah, so. That's it. As for other countries, yeah, I did travel to Germany, and I even studied for like a couple of weeks in Germany. So I did have an experience of like speaking German in a German environment. So yeah, as for China, yeah, as I have mentioned before, I was doing there my semester abroad, like my exchange semester, my exchange term. And yeah, that was pretty amazing, I should say. And as for Spanish, that's really interesting because like I went to Spain when I was a teenager, like I was 14 years old, and I started to learn Spanish when I was kind of 19 or something like that. So it was my second year at the university. And yeah, I think this traveling, like this trip to Spain, has somehow inspired me back then to learn to study Spanish at the university.
Now, the follow-up question to that is, I know for myself, like when I recently went to Puerto Rico and Aruba, I did this a year ago, and I was able to speak Spanish with people and like get what I want, like, you know, food, directions, et cetera, et cetera. I felt pretty validated. I actually felt really cool. Like, what was that feeling like for you, you know, whether it's Spain, China, you know, Germany, when you realized like all this that I've been studying, I'm now able to apply?
Well, I think the most prominent experience was in China, because I came to China knowing some basic things. So it was kind of A2 level, so not that high, but at the same time, I was feeling quite all right. I was like, okay, I can count to 10. I know some basic things, like I know how what kind of questions I can ask in order to buy something or in order to, I don't know, to do something with my documents, etc. But when I come to China and when I was buying tickets from Beijing to my town where, to my city actually, where I was about to study, and I didn't understand anything. And the funny thing was that the woman who was sitting there, she just wrote me, you know, the cost of the ticket, like on the list. And I was like, oh my God, I was studying Chinese for like almost 1 year, and I even did not understand what was the price of the ticket. And it was really a big shock for me. But, you know, the thing was with dialect and, I don't know, with the way Chinese people pronounce everything. At the same time, they do have these musical tones, which is really difficult for understanding, because in European languages, in Russian language, we don't have this kind of tone. And we don't really pay attention to the intonation that much. So that was really challenging. And then after like a couple of weeks, you go to the shop and you understand, oh my God, I understand what this girl is saying, or you hear some word that you already know while someone is speaking, and it's like, it's really precious. It was a really precious moment for me. So yeah, I think it works mostly with Chinese, just because I was confident that I can understand at least something, but sure. Then I remember this girl having this price on the paper, and was like, oh my God, that's a disaster.
No, I get that. And like, you know, in addition to culture and in addition to dialect, I feel that across languages, across communities, across cultures, you know, the way we express ourselves in the context of different situations is what really makes language come across most clearly. Because like, to follow up on your English, you know, mentioned that like you haven't been to a predominantly English speaking country. I'm willing to bet you going somewhere like the States versus Canada versus England versus Ireland, those are four very different experiences, you know? So with that being said, like, If you were to go to an English speaking country, where would you want to go?
Well, I want to go everywhere, actually. But,
oh, yeah, same.
mostly, yeah. First of all, I want to go to the United States.
Okay.
Just because, I don't know, I have been living like my whole life based on books, based on, I don't know, even based on some literature, some research, which were made in America. Yeah, and I think the culture is really attractive for me, American culture, like, you know, this liberty, freedom, I don't know, you don't care about anything but yourself. And I think it is something that really close to me, that is really close to me. So yeah. But I do understand that I have more of British accent. But
yeah, you do. And like, you know, I have, like, how can I put this? I went to school with a lot of kids that were first generation Russian people, and they spoke both Russian and English. And yeah, when you speak, it's like very, it's very British. It's kind of cool. So, yeah, but anyways, keep going.
Yeah, I can't explain this, just because from the period of Soviet Union, like lots of universities, they thought that British accent, like it's, I know, one of the most important accents in terms of like, it's kind of more natural in terms of teaching. Yeah, so it's kind of the language of the Queen, language of, I know, London and everything. So like in our books, like at least at school, we have this sentence, we have these texts, kind of London is the capital of Great Britain. So teachers were mostly focused on teaching English in terms of only British English. But now, you know, things have really changed, and at least now at my university, there are many professors who have who have brilliant American accent and who do know a lot about American culture. But still, yeah, more attention is being paid to British English, unfortunately. And almost no attention is paid to Canadian English, yeah, or to Irish English, or to, I don't know, Australian variant of English. So, yeah. But I think it will it will be developed in the future. So just because of, I don't know, Soviet Union idealistic approach of British English is like of the utmost importance. So yeah. Huh.
That's very interesting because like even amongst British English, right, you know, there's a lot of different dialects, cultures, influences, and ideals. Like, for example, I've interviewed about 9 people from England, and then I've interviewed another 10 people who were from another country but lived in England. And if you listen to all 19 of those interviews, their dialects and ways of speaking are very, very, very different. Now, the 9 people, it makes sense because that's not like their home country. They just live in England, right? But the same thing like applies for the United States. Like, I'm from Philadelphia, and someone might go, no, you're not, because of the way I speak. But the accent in Philly could be so different. Like, if we were to say, we're going to go down the street, some people say, I'm going down the street versus I'm going down the street. So like, it's just like the way people speak. Or like in Boston, like, they don't believe in their R's. They say ka, like, I'm going to park my car, as opposed to say parking the car, you know. New York, that's a whole other thing. And same with Australia, like Australia English versus New Zealand English versus, you know, Irish English. They couldn't, like, even though they're all under the Queen, quote unquote, they couldn't be any more different. And I do agree with you. It is interesting that, you know, in Russia, it was mostly based on England. And I mean, that might be due to imperialism, you know, from.
Yeah, probably that is the reason.
True. Is it true that in Russia there's more than one type of like way of speaking Russian, like other than dialect, like there's multiple Russian languages?
No. In terms of accents or in terms of dialect, we do have some words that can be different in different regions, but again, they are mostly based on the culture. Yeah. So, for instance, if I'm from the south, we do have some, I don't know, plans that are not really common to the people who live in Moscow, and we do have a name for these plants, or we do have a name for some kind of animal, and that is why people from Moscow, they do not know this name. Just because they do not even know what is this animal. So that can be the difference. But in general, yeah, we do have some dialectal words, but the difference is not that big. And even in terms of some pronunciation, we do have some regions where people speak a bit faster or where people speak a bit louder. But that these features are not really prominent. But in different regions, like in in the regions which are close to mountains, for instance, where different nationalities live, they do speak their languages as well, apart from Russian, like, I don't know, in Dagestan, in Chechnya, or, I don't know, North Ossetia, so they do speak one more or even two more languages, which are they like mud languages, just because they have a different nationality. But again, they do speak Russian as well, just because like they live in Russia and these schools are mostly based on Russian language, but they do have their national language as well. So I think these people are the lucky ones, because like from their birth, they can already speak 2 languages, and it's much easier for them to learn another language. So yeah.
That's very interesting, because like in America, that's not always the case. I would say that most countries have the challenge as well as the gift of most people they know speak more than one language, whereas we in America, we don't teach other languages well enough. Like, you know, I'm not trying to sound sad, but like I think if I was taught Spanish better, I could claim Spanish fully, you know. And I mean, there's apps, I could always get into Duolingo, but like it's just very enriching to hear you talk about this. So yeah.
Duolingo is not like kind of best experience.
Okay, don't use Duolingo.
Language.
Okay, so what are some of your recommendations then?
How to learn a language. I don't know, you just need to focus on your goals. You need to goal in order to learn a language. And I suggest just to go deeper to the environment of this language. So just watch movies, read books, at least try to listen to podcasts, because there are a plethora of opportunities, I should say, just right now, because we have internet, we have a lot of YouTube channels, and you can just follow different people on Instagram and just, read to some article daily and write down some useful words, some word that you haven't been familiar with before. Or, there are a plethora of apps in terms of like, connecting with other people from other countries. So like, some speaking clubs where you can use your knowledge of language. So, or just, if you want to do it seriously, I totally will suggest like a private tutor or work in a group, just because it would be faster and would be more beneficial for you just because of money as well. So you paid for something, you pay for something, you're like, okay, I should do it because I pay for it. But again, you should have a motivation. You should have a motivation, kind of goal, why you need to learn it. Because if you don't have a goal, it can work for a certain period of time, but then after this certain period of time, you face this kind of crisis and you're like, okay, why am I doing this? And then you just stop learning it. And in order for this not to happen, you just need to pursue your goal. So I know either it just for traveling or for studying abroad or for, for watching movies with original subtitles or with original audio. So that's it. Or talking with the people all over the world. So that can be the thing that could motivate people to learn and to to improve their language skills.
That was very, very helpful, not just for myself, but for our listeners. Obviously they're listening to a podcast, but I think their homework is really to get into the media, get into the literature. And I just want to say thank you for your time and sharing your experience and relationship with language and with, culture. What's next for you? Like, will you continue to teach or do you have any other ambitions or things you would like to do?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, I'm a very open person to any kind of thing. So I will totally continue my studies. What will I focus on? And as for now, I think I will continue my teaching. I will have maybe more students, like not only from Russian speaking countries, but maybe it's time to go a bit broader, take some students from from countries which language I do not speak, because it would be challenging.
I love it,
so I don't really know. I think as for now that I don't have any plan, but just continue doing something that I love. And I love being in the environment of English. I love being in the environment of foreign languages. And I want maybe to give my knowledge to others and to help them in this. I just want to help others to pursue their goals. Let's say it like this.
No, I hear that. I hear that.
Through the language.
So this has definitely been a very good episode. And I just want to say, no matter where you go in your journey, I love that you appreciate what you love and do what you love. Because in the end of the day, I think it's really important that we all do things from the heart and not from, you know, the desire for status or money or something artificial. Because like, while money is important, happiness is more important. So thank you for sharing your experiences. And this has been a good episode of Dreams Not Memes.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to talk to you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian from A Day Without Love. Thank you for listening to Dreams Not Memes. I just want you to remember, your dreams matter. If you'd like to support this podcast, email adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for donation information, or follow me for weekly episodes. Thank you for listening and joining my journey. Have a good day.